three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. I've got Andrew back. He'll introduce himself in a second. Quickly, before we jump into anything else, the topics, I'll go through them quickly. We're talking about the Boomers. We're talking about Cotton's injury in the Wildcats. Mooney for MVP, making the case for and against. We're going to lay the knives into the Brisbane Bullets. We haven't liked them. We got a stroke for Felix von Hoff and the guys at Trash Talk, Peter Hooley. We're talking about the realm of the relegated, Cairns and Adelaide. And that's about it, plus anything that Andrew throws in there. Before I introduce Andrew and get him to say something, marvelous. I've got but one copy left. I'm holding it in my hand. I've got one envelope sleeve. I've lied in the past. Okay, I'll admit that. I've lied and said I had one when I had two because I was going to give it as a gift. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to sell it, so you can buy it via the link in the description. But Andrew Kane, say hello.
Yeah, g'day, Joe. It's good to be back after sort of being somewhat absent in the last one of my missive from afar. As I responded to our question from Mason. But yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to talk to MBL.
On Mason, thank you again to Mason and the Cool Cats Corner. That Cool Cats Corner is such a great idea because it's a small sort of 15 to 20 minute podcast about an individual team. Why every team doesn't have that second tier media doing it, I don't know. But Mason's one, so if you're a Wildcat fan and just a fan of the league, do subscribe to him. But you know what's interesting is played Mason's question in my office, and Mason's going to be very flattered by this. And one of my female colleagues came and said, "Is that your voice?" I said, no, it's a friend, colleague.
Yep.
And she goes, "Because his voice sounds really attractive."
Oh.
And, yeah, I know, right? And I was like, well, you know, I can't speak for Mason, but she's like, yeah, he's really attractive. Like, my voice doesn't do anything. She's like, no, not at all, but that voice does a lot. So, Mason, get in touch.
All right, with the NBL Pocket Podcast Twitter, Tinder section is live.
There you go. Swipe, swipe, swipe. Let's swipe on from this conversation. But Mason, do get in contact with me. I can't say it. Single, disease free. I don't know. I don't know. I know Mason, but not well enough. I've mentioned those topics, Andrew. Is there anything you're going to add to the mix?
I don't think so. I think that's enough. Who knows? It's a bit of a. If it was Friday, I'd say it's a Friday free for all. It's a Thursday through tumble? The league tumble.
Oh, yep. Okay. Thursday through the league. Thursday. Let's do it.
We'll do our best.
Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the national team. Let's get the Boomers dealt with.
There was a lot of talk about the 15-man squad. Obviously, that'll be trimmed to 12 for if, I don't know which is more of the better word to use about these Olympics, because there's all kind of talk that Japan want them cancelled, so or Tokyo.
The whole thing seems hypothetical at this point, doesn't it? It's just like a thought exercise and not actually an event that's going to occur.
Oh, I mean, you got to get these athletes vaccinated. You hope there's no complications from that. Then they got to get there. Japan's got to sort of. It's a logistical nightmare. But when the future is uncertain, all you can do is the next right thing. So let's pick a 15-man squad. Do you want me to give you my 15-man squad and then you tell me whether yay or nay?
Yes.
I've got a 12-man team. You tell me if there's anyone else. I'll give it.
Okay.
Here's who I think is going to start for this team.
All right.
Ben Simmons.
Uh huh.
Patty Mills. Joe Ingles, Matisse Thybulle, and Aaron Baines. That's the five.
Uh-huh.
Your main guys off the bench, Jock Landau, Brock Modem, Mitch Creek, Dellavedova, Chris Golding. They're the next five. And then the reserves, I've got Ryan Brockhoff and Nick Kay. Within the 12, but deeper down that bench. I think... just before you say anything about the team, the reason why I've got Modem ahead of K is Modem can get your points, and with Simmons on the floor and not the best scorers, he gives you another scoring dimension. I feel like Nick K, I've seen him in Europe. It just hasn't quite been there. He's a good player who'll get some time, but man, Brock Modem, I like that player.
Yeah, like he's been putting some good numbers up for a long period of time now. He's a little bit forgotten about over here now, but I would say
he's older. He's used to banging against European bigs, and he can score. And that's, I think, going to be really important with Simmons who on the floor who can't. What do you think about that team?
It's not bad. I don't see any huge holes in it. I'm just trying to think of the people that sort of are in the squad, in the mix, who have you left out? And obviously, I think the big one is Bryce Cotton. But he can't play now, so he didn't get his citizenship sorted.
Brutal blow. Yeah. Brutal blow.
Really hurts.
But the problem is, if you choose Cotton, you can't have Thybulle. What would you have done?
I would have gone with Cotton.
Same.
And I don't know much about Thybulle, to be honest. Thybulle. I haven't really seen, because I don't follow the NBA that closely, so I haven't really seen his play. He's more a defensive player than an offensive one. So it's a total flip flop with those two guys there. But I just think that Cotton provides that offensive X factor that, apart from Patty Mills, perhaps, although Patty Mills isn't an X factor, everybody knows, Cotton just gives that something different. And that's something that Australian players don't generally have, is that just flat out scoring mentality. He would have been totally fantastic to have.
And I think logistically as well, like Dellavedova, he's had this concussion. I think he's had another injury since. He can't shoot. He seemed to really struggle in that FIBA World Cup. I just think it means Mills, when he's off the court, you got Cotton. There's still that scoring punch. And these are long tournaments. You need guys who can put the ball in the hole. I would have definitely taken Cotton over Thybulle.
Yeah.
And not that he's a bad player, but also Simmons and Thybulle on the court together. I know they do it in the NBA a lot, but I don't want to compare the Olympics to the NBA. The NBA is 48 minutes and no zone and different defense.
No defense. Yeah.
I'm going to say minimal effort from the games I've seen. So I just think, Cotton. I say that with a lot of sincerity and a lot of conviction as well.
That's okay. I'm already looking forward to the World Champs next year. 2022, we'll get him there.
Jonah Bolden is a guy I left off.
Yep. Totally. No debate. Fair. Well, where is he?
Where does he play? The only guy is Brokhoff. Would you bring him over Brokhoff? It depends who's the better shooter, and I think it's Ryan Brokhoff. So Bolden. But I don't have a problem with Bolden being on that team. If he were to make it, I don't have a problem with it. Now, as far as a attitude thing goes.
The big one that's missing, I think, from your list would be Josh Giddey.
Well, what do you think? I have no qualms in leaving him off. What do you think?
I'd leave him off too. I don't think he's ready. I think he's a good young player. He's showed great form in the NBL. Nothing against him. Great player. But there's no room for him at this point.
No. He's 18. I don't think he can guard his position at this point. He looks a little gangly, a little light, a little lean.
Yep.
Especially at tournament play, like where you've got to be strong, and you got to be able to play a game and then another game the day after or 2 days after and travel in between and blah, blah, blah. At 18, 19, I don't think he's got that in him just yet. And no, I'd leave him off the team for sure.
Yep.
If Dellavedova's not healthy, well then...
I think that's the swap there, isn't it? That's probably the question mark. Do you take the almost at the end of the career NBA player Deli, or do you take the up-and-comer Giddey?
Would you rather have Giddey or Mitch McCarron?
Oh, that's a good point. That's the guy.
That Mitch McCarron.
There's two guys that you've forgotten about, actually. So you forgot about, well, there's three. You forgot Bolden, about Mitch McCarron. Giddey,
McCarron. McCarron. I would rather have McCarron. I'd rather have McCarron than Giddey. What do you think?
I'd take McCarron. I really like the way he's playing. So yeah, man, and he's defends, better shooter.
Low maintenance, better shooter, better scorer. And older and more mature.
Yeah.
Definitely I take McCarron. Mitch Norton, is there any problems with that, leaving him off?
No, it's no problem. He's never in the hunt.
No, me too. I agree.
What about Nathan Sobey, though?
Just not. He's a scoring two. You got Mills. I saw him at the World Cup and he didn't play, and for good reason. Not for me. What do you think?
I'm putting him in the team ahead of Brokhoff.
Ooh.
Because I haven't liked what I was super excited about Brokhoff coming in this year. I've been pumped for him every game, and he's just delivered, apart from injuries, he's delivered nothing. Really disappointing.
And I'd say that's a result of the injury, not of his play. If he was healthy, man, he can shoot the hell out of it. And those tournaments.
So can Sobey now. Sobey's no.
But only in the NBL, like when he's the forefront of a team. Can Nathan Sobey be a second or third scoring option? I'm not so sure. I think he needs the ball too much.
Nah, I'm ready to trust Nathan Sobey at this point. At this point of his career, I think he's matured. I think he would know his role in this team.
Here's why. Here's why I wouldn't, because Simmons loves that ball too, and Simmons can find anyone, and Brokoff can shoot it better than Sobey. He just can. I know he can. And he'd be out on the outside. Can I throw another name at you?
Sure.
Obviously, we've left off Dante Exum, just perennially hurt. I've never seen him play. He's always hurt, so I'm happy to put a line through him.
No issue with that.
Dijon Vasiljevic, if he were healthy, would he make this team over Golding? Would he make it over Brokoff?
No. No.
He is a gutsy scorer. I mean, I trust that kid. I trust that kid so much.
But it's a bit like saying, would you put Mirko Cheric in the lineup?
He's better than Mirko. I just think he's a bit stronger and a bit bigger than Mirko and can defend his position. Wow. Golding can't defend his position, but at least he can shoot it really, really well.
Yeah.
Vasiljevic, young kid too, 24. Are you talking about blooding players a little bit? I mean, Ryan Brokoff or Vasiljevic, we saw a lot out of Vasiljevic.
True. Nah, I'm still saying no. So I like I like the argument you're putting forward. I appreciate the effort, but no, I'm not having it.
That's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Brian Gorgian, I want to talk about this. Can he bridge the gap between young and old? Can he meld Simmons, who's the head of the program, future of the program,
yep,
and Ingles and Mills, who've got that sort of quiet, sarcastic streak? I don't know if he's the guy for the job. I don't think a man in his 70s is the man for this job. I've said this from the beginning.
I agree. I'm not comfortable with the appointment. I think it was a rushed decision on the basis that the Olympics was already happened. It was already done and dusted almost. You know, watching him coach this season, everybody's still going on about how great he is. I don't think so. His teams have been okay defensively. I wouldn't say they're like an echelon above other teams at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, they're a joke.
Mm-hmm. Just give the ball to Harvey, clear out. Yep. No one else can score. I don't see a lot of trickery from that offense where it's, disguising with it. Unless Jessup fires, that's the only time they get a second score. There's not a lot of like rope-a-dope play where kind of Harvey gets a traction. And then there's a duck play from Ogilvy. There was early in the year. All that stuff has dried up. Yeah, sorry, yep. Interrupt.
No, you're exactly right, though. It's exactly – I'm looking at it going, Trevor Gleeson should be the coach. Now, Grant, he's an annoying coach. I get all that. I'm not a big fan. I find him annoying too. But if you look at runs on the board and ability to get to milk the most out of a team, you've got to go with Gleeson at this point. And so therefore I'm saying, is it coming down to personality – and all that kind of stuff? Well, that's stupid. Like, you're all professionals. Get in there and you just play for the coach you've got and don't whinge about it.
Well, I heard a lot of people, I think the decision was one looking back because, you know, guys like Chris Anstey were like, oh, Brian Gorgian. I was like, yeah, when you were coming up, he was a big deal. And he is a big deal. And he's a great coach and everything and great personality. I'm not denying that. But is Ben Simmons like, wow, I can't wait to play for Brian Gorgian? I don't think Brian Gorgian's on his radar at all.
Oh, he wouldn't be because of his dad.
Well, here's the thing. I knew you were going to say this. And it's like, how many times have you been like, wow, well, that guy used to work with my dad. I better do what he says. I don't think Ben Simmons works like that. I don't think Matisse Thybulle works like that. I think Joey Wright. I think because it's all about Ben Simmons, right? Ben Simmons, your best player, is the future of the program.
Yeah.
I think you'd rather have, instead of the Brian Gorgian, who's in his, late 60s, early 70s?
Yep.
I'd rather have Joey Wright. I've said this from the beginning. Joey Wright, they speak the same language. He's a younger guy. Both that sort of Australian and African-American. I think that those two would speak more the same language than Brian Gorgian and Ben Simmons. And I think that's why I would have done it.
Joey Wright would not be the worst for this squad as well, especially when you think about it's a short tournament, relatively short tournament. You're just trying to get teams fired up.
Yeah.
Joey's going to do that. He'll have a team ready to go. Yeah, okay. It's not going to happen, unfortunately. No,
it's over for him in any and all contexts. But you look at Chris Golding's a former player of his. You know, he's scouted a lot of these guys and come up with a lot of these guys. I want to take a departure here. Bogut coming to this team. And I think Bogut is going to serve as a distraction with these boomers. I think bogus indiscretion with a lot of things. He's very talkative. He's very outspoken. But when I think it was an interview with Olgun Yulic, in which he was saying that Simmons is going to need to learn to buy in, play point forward. Giddy is the one who's going to lead the country and the team. And there's, I think I'm almost a direct quote there, or close paraphrase. And I just thought that is such, you know, Bogut's got his right to his opinion for sure, but I didn't buy any of that. I just thought, wow, there must be some division, huge division between Simmons and the program, the older program.
Yeah, yeah. There's a schism, perhaps. I mean, I don't think he's necessarily wrong. I think Josh Giddey might be the leader of the program in 4 years' time. But I think also for Ben Simmons, that'll work out okay, because he'll have matured a little bit more. And I think he might be not quite as dynamic in 4 years' time, but be stronger and will be more willing to sort of play that small forward, power forward kind of position.
Simmons is a point guard. He is a ball handler. He makes so much more sense when you play him with weird combinations where everyone's over 6'5". You know, everyone's big and strong. I just think this needling. I don't understand this needling of Ben Simmons. I don't get it. I've always thought he'd probably be young and a bit brash, but I just don't get it.
Maybe that's the issue. Maybe Ben Simmons is young and brash and Bogut is old and brash. You know, like Bogut used to be the brash guy, you know? And
it's true.
Generations pass on by, but he probably doesn't want to lose his reputation as being the brash guy. So he's got to have an opinion. Yeah, so,
you know, and an opinion is what we've had as well. Let's move on to something else. What do you want to go? Cotton's injury.
Cotton's injury and MVP status.
Yeah, yeah. And so we'll talk about Cotton's injury and John Mooney, I think, and any other MVP candidates are out there. Your reaction when you heard this Cotton news?
Oh man, it was like, really? At first, I was like, it's just a bruise, big deal. And then gradually, as it went, I was like, yeah, this is sounding worse. And then he put that tweet out saying, like, I've probably played my last game, or yeah, Instagram,
I
or whatever.
Think,
it was.
Yeah, I believe I've played my last. It didn't read well at all.
Then it was like, oh, this is serious now, and it was just like, well, that's it for the three-peat dream is done. You cannot win a championship with the wild cast, you know, like they're not going to get it done.
No. So, was my first question. Do you think they have any chance of winning it without him? I'll ask you that question. Do they have any chance of winning the championship without Bryce Cotton?
No.
No chance. Okay.
They'd be lucky to get past. I was talking with a friend of mine, keen listener of the show, was actually asking me this morning. He said to me, hey, why no NBL Pocket Podcast yet? Jeez, man. All right.
Yeah, we're recording right now. Here we go.
Patience. But he was saying to me, and I agree, he's like, Wildcats would be lucky to get past Phoenix. Like, because with Kiefer Sykes on the court, Craig, I know you're listening. You're totally right. Kiefer Sykes will tear Wildcats a new one.
But Mooney, that team cannot come close to Mooney. And also home court advantage. Southeast Melbourne got to come to Perth. I know they've won in the past, but no, I still think they're going to the final. Do you think they're still going to the final?
Look, who knows, right? I'm less convinced now, but let's say they get to the finals. They're still not going to get over Melbourne.
Do you think they can take a game off Melbourne in a best of five without home court?
Yes. Ooh. Yes, they can get a game, but because anybody can get a game in five. Like,
yeah, I think it would be a clean sweep if they got it against Melbourne. I just too much depth. Like, the Wildcats could hang with them, and unless they got really lucky, unless Steindl shot the piss out of it, Melbourne can just have a better fourth quarter. They're just always going to run through them. I think I had full confidence that with Cotton, this team was going to win. No doubt in my mind, but now it just changes the whole dynamic.
And the way Melbourne are playing, like they're coming in waves now, so especially in the backcourt, because you've got...
Oh, Golding looks great.
You've got Golding looking great. You've got McCarron who does what he needs to do. Then you get Barber may have a hot game or not. And then you've got McDaniel who's just really showing some improvement.
The guy who I look at that team and I go, they're soft belly, they're underbelly. I think it's JLA. I think you can look at him and go, he's trigger happy, and if we can frustrate him, you can shut him out of a game. And they rely on him for a lot of points. He is a 10 to 20 point scorer most nights for them in wins.
Yep.
And he'd be the guy I'd be thinking, all right, if we bang him, if we body him, if we hurt him, if we get inside his head, he'll keep shooting and he'll shoot him out of a game. I do think that at JLA. I like his game, but he's a little trigger happy for me.
I agree.
I agree.
And I think that's where you say that's where the Will Magne signing becomes really important, because it would be Magne's job to dominate over JLA. Can he do it? We haven't seen it yet. They've got a week of training under their belts now. Is he going to show
that ankle of his is still a bit shaky? The problem, I don't think, is Magne's health. The problem is, well, not the problem, but the issue is Trevor Gleeson. I just don't think he likes bigger guys on the floor at the end. Like, he didn't play Plumlee in the last 5 to 10 minutes of games. He likes his Mooney, Wagstaff, Blanchfield, Cotton, Norton lineups. He just loves that.
Well, that's kind of where the flex offense sort of benefits, right? Is you need wing guys peeling off for threes at the 45s and things like that. You don't get that with a couple of big guys. But he's going to have to – this will be a good test of Gleeson and his coaching flexibility. What can he do?
If they win this series, this would be one of the biggest upsets if it would happen. Anyway, we'll talk. I want to see their form without Cotton before we go into that. But let's talk about John Mooney. Let's talk about this MVP case, right?
Yep.
Cotton's going to miss these games. So I think in total, Cotton's going to miss 4 for the year.
Yep.
I put this out on Twitter, got a bit of pushback for it. What do you think, Mooney for MVP? What do you think of the case?
Putting me on the spot. All right.
I'll give you the case because I've got the numbers here.
Yeah.
Leads the league in double-doubles. He is the number one player in PER, player efficiency rating, 8th in points per game, 1st in rebounds, hasn't missed a game all year, and touch wood, won't. Whereas Cotton, on the other hand, he's set to miss 4 games for the season. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, 4, but in a 36-game season, that's 11% of the season. If it was an NBA guy, he'd be missing around about 10 games. It's cuspy. That's the case. And also, Cotton had 6 games shooting under 30%. We were texting back and forth about his kind of mid-season struggles. They're the cases for both players. What do you think?
All right. I think, first of all, let me say that Cotton, I think, has had his worst season in the NBL this season. That's that mid-season slump. Now, it's still a really great season, but I think this is his worst. John Mooney taking the world by storm, okay? But I think Cotton's only had his worst season because everybody, their entire focus is on him, right? The whole game plan is, how do you stop Bryce Cotton? There's nobody else that team, that opposition really worries about. So fair enough, you have a difficult time of it. And I think in contrast to that, Mooney has been the direct beneficiary of that strategy.
Totally.
Yeah. So
as was Nick Kay when he was there. Pardon me. Yep, sorry. Yep.
So he's awesome, right? And because you've got to be good to be able to capitalize. So Mooney is an excellent player who's benefited from playing alongside the MVP, Bryce Cotton. Now, before that is not me saying that Bryce Cotton's going to be the MVP, though. I think Bryce Cotton is the best player and over the course of a season is the MVP, but I don't think he'll win it.
You don't think, and you think it'll be Mooney who wins it or someone else?
Yep, I think it'll be Mooney.
Well, and here's where I kind of, it's a regular season award and it's not done on reputation and what you think. To me, the award is done on production, what happened in the regular season and in the games. Now, you can say, Cotton commands his attention and he is the best player. He totally is. He's just head and shoulders above everybody else. He's a freak. But production-wise, what happened? Value. If you go to the supermarket and you use your money, you want value for the dollar, right? The more product you get or the better product you get. And these games, they matter. Because if you were doing a 3-2-1 voting, which I know they don't do, but still, it's Cotton would get 4 zeros for these 4 games. Bang, bang, bang. He missed. John Mooney would get points in those games or do something in those games. Man, value, availability and value. There's not many letters difference there. And I just think I really want to see Mooney without Cotton in these games. If he continues what he's doing, then I think that totally reorchestrates this conversation. But I'm just a believer of it's a regular season award. Every regular season game counts. My vote at this point, my vote will be at the end of the year for John Mooney in those 4 games.
There we go. 2 for 2 on the NBL Pocket Podcast.
Is there anyone who's
even, like, to John Mooney?
Is there anyone even who's also like tap on the shoulder, like, oh, you've You've forgotten about me. He's the next best lander.
Probably. But he's been outplayed by Mooney when they've gone up against each other. And I don't think he's been solid without being sensational.
Mm. As I said, that team's too polite. That's the one worry I have with Melbourne. They're just a little bit too polite. The only guy who is willing to take big shots and kind of supersede the offense when needed is Golding. He's always done that.
Yep.
The other guys like McCarron, too polite. He'd rather just sort of, what is Wesley Snipes saying? Whiteman can't jump. Like he'd rather remain. He says you'd rather look good than win. But I think it's more like they'd rather remain friends than win. And I feel like Golding's the exception. Landau's got plenty of bite, but when it comes to sort of doing it with his own team, I think he's just too gentlemanly.
Other players, well, Mitch Creek, sort of, he started off with a bang, had a slump.
Yeah.
Sort of, he's been okay since. And also, I just think from a PR perspective, they're not going to give it to him.
Nope.
Like Giddy, good player, led the league in assists, but
missed games.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to miss 6 or 8 games. Nathan Sobey,
yeah. Look at the team. Where's the team? They're not even going to make the playoffs.
And they've been despicable of late, and we would say they probably trend to keep that up and nosedive even more. So
yeah, I just can't
do it.
No,
I can't. No, I can't do it. I mean, I'll ask you this. I'm kind of getting shades with this Mooney Cotton MVP conversation. I'm getting shades of NBL 19 and the bogus Boga MVP. How many games did Cotton miss that year?
Jeez, I don't
know. Not many. Wouldn't have been more than 4.
True. And what Boga sat out a bunch of them. Was that his rest year when he didn't go to New Zealand?
No, that was the year after NBL 20 when he made second team. Yeah. That was the other bogus award there. He got plenty of. He's got people. He's you don't want to fly in the face of Boga.
He's beloved by the league.
Well,
hated, but understood. Man, people the PR angle. Yeah.
People fear. People just don't want the hassle of answering him on Twitter. But no, he shouldn't have won MVP that year, nor should he have been second team the year after. He should have been first team that first year. But no, I'm shades of that. Like, I don't know how many games Cotton missed, but it was around about the same number, and it cost him.
What about MVP? Just one little roughie as well. Mm-hmm. Finn Delaney.
Just they're rubbish, though. They've lost so many games, and he was bad to start the year. He had games, very rough. Mooney would have to be struck down or drug tested and come up ineligible.
Just keeping the Kiwis happy, because I know somebody's going to come at me on Twitter and say, hey, what about?
Well, Finn Delaney could be second or first team, But we'll talk about that closer to the end of the year.
Scotty Hobson last year almost won MVP. Look at him this year. Just it's a quiet throwaway.
I like that. That's a good point.
Same with Lamar.
Do you want to lay the knives into Brisbane?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So if you read Boddy Nodge's article on the weekend, he was pretty critical of this team. We couldn't believe what we saw with the 18-point turnaround against the Wildcats, and then to get smacked by Southeast Melbourne and Melbourne at home. They were, I think they're, even when New Zealand were really lethargic and struggling being away from home, I still believe those two games are the worst efforts we've seen this season.
Yep.
Just not even, they weren't there. What do you think?
Yeah. The only thing that Brisbane has really brought to this league in about 3 years now are reasonable big guys. So what confuses me, so that, they've sort of brought Hodgson back from the dead. They had Magne. Their young guy now, what's his name?
Tyrell Harrison.
Yeah, he's looking pretty good. Mm. I don't know what's happened to Froehlich, man. Like, he just doesn't get on that bus. Just everything about Froehlich and Brisbane, sort of, they're made for each other because they're the most infuriating team and individual in the league. It's just no grit.
They're just so
quick to wave the white flag, it seems.
Here's what I put the problem down to. Lamar Patterson cannot back up games. He cannot back up game. His conditioning lets him down. His stats were okay, they're not bad, but here's a guy who was an MVP candidate. He is so far off that pace. I mean, we talked about MVP just before. He wouldn't feature in the top 10.
No way.
He wouldn't feature in the top 15, 20 maybe. He just can't back up. And he starts strongly. Watch all his games. He starts strongly and you're like, ooh, he's got the legs under him. The jump shot looks good. And then as the game goes on,
yeah,
he he peters off. Now, the Wildcat game was the exception. If we can dial it back and talk about that, I thought Trevor Gleeson made a huge mistake, not doubling Patterson. Like, take it out of his hands. They took the ball out of Cotton's hands.
Yep.
Perth should have done the same and said, yeah, okay, we'll let Jason Kadee take a shot for three. He's a good shooter, but we don't trust him in the clutch. Go ahead. Yep. Or Anthony Drimmick or whoever else was on the floor. Not Patterson, yeah. Especially on Bairstow. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
But the games after, yeah, the efforts just, and he was dead bad in those games. I think that's a huge problem. Sobey's production has plummeted with Patterson there. It's just, he's just not the same player. He's not as aggressive. It's almost as if they have to hold up the ball in transition for Patterson to get up. I didn't like the move from the get-go. I like Patterson, but it hasn't worked out. The conditioning's not there. The knives are out. They're not
Do you understand the BJ Johnson signing? Now, actually, I've seen him, right? I don't get why they signed a player of his position.
I haven't even noticed him in games, Andrew. I just haven't even.
It's kind of like watching Tony Crocker play. You know, he's fine. You know, like reasonable jump shot, a bit wiry. But what value is he bringing to this team? I don't see it.
They need someone with real guts, like BJ Armstrong. BJ Armstrong's he has got pencil. Thick arms.
He's not BJ Armstrong.
BJ
Johnson.
He's not important enough to remember. Okay. There you go. They need a gritty point. They need a Casper Ware, Machado. Hey, that could happen. But they need a guy who plays defense on his position, leads the team, adds some grit. They are the most, I said Melbourne were gentlemanly. This team's just, they're cucks almost.
Back to our word again.
But they are just so submissive.
Did you see the timeouts where Lemanis is dropping F-bombs all over the place?
I felt that was fabricated. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, who are you, Andre Lemanis? Like, here you are dropping F-bombs in a timeout, but you get to interviews and press conferences and you're like, yeah, well, it's, I like to say it comes with experience, calmness and grace under pressure. It's like, what are you, Andre Lemanis? You've checked out. That's what you have done. You've checked out to your big payday. I've never particularly rated him as a great coach. He did an excellent job with the Boomers. Credit where it's due. He won some championships with New Zealand that put him on the map. I do not rate that guy as highly as what everybody else does.
I mean, his resume is good. His resume is very good. He's won in the NBL, Boomers, so on and so forth. But I just find him passive. And a team is always a reflection of their coach. And he's a passive sort of person, projects that way anyway. And his team's playing that same way. To his credit, I mean, Brisbane is a small, small, small market. I mean, they, from my account, they would be flat broke, I would think. They would have no money to their name.
But they should be. This is the problem. Sorry, I'm cutting you off. Sorry.
Do it. Cut me off.
Well, they should be a big market. They used to be a big market. Like,
it's true.
Body and Brad on their podcast just had Brian Curl. Mm-hmm. Right? Brian Curl knew how to get something out of Brisbane. Okay? He energized that city to get involved with the Bullets. Right? And you even listen to his interview now, you could still sort of get that sense of a guy who was, you know, give him a chance and he'd be off and racing. Right?
Yeah.
Andre Lemanis is not the guy for that market.
You're just as likely to buy from someone like Brian Curl a set of steak knives as you are a basketball ticket. Natural salesman, natural charisma, and it's a quality that inspires allegiance and devotion.
Yeah. Andre Lemanis, like, nobody's going to be inspired to go buy a Bullets ticket because Andre Lemanis is the coach. Like, Brian Curl was fun to watch as a coach, you know? Jump around with his – waving his program around and, like, he was just a nutter in a good way.
I can't pretend to know Brisbane town too well. I've only been there once or twice, but I mean, the proof is in the – it ain't working. You know, like, those games are stoic in atmosphere. 1,500 people at the most, and the 1,500 are there, don't seem to really know what's going on. There's a few people really motivated. I'm shocked. And that sort of money there. So it must be – so what I'm getting at is with Lemanis – obviously, the money is low, so the spend is low. So some of the players have had to kind of, you know, make, something out of chopped liver. You know, they haven't got prime cuts. But so he's done okay in that respect. But, yeah, they're just so middle of the road. and have been last season and the year before.
That's it. Ever since they came back into the league, they've been meh. They're like the ultimate meh team of the NBL. And until they change that, it's not going to be great. Brisbane was good when they had, like, remember all those years at the library? That was terrible. So they've solved one problem. The venue is a bit more lively.
Yes. But
Brisbane was really going off when they had
On TV. I've never been there in person. Yeah.
They had stupid stuff like that, like that mushroom guy who would jump around the side courts, like chanting and being an idiot. Like, that's what the Brisbane people are all about, in my mind. It's stupid stuff, right? And exciting, crazy basketball with some cult hero characters. And they got none of that. They got boring, staid, blah players and a boring, staid, blah coach. And everything about the Brisbane Bullets is boring.
Well, can I throw out a theory? A bit of a controversial theory, but those bad efforts, right, against Southeast Melbourne, especially, and Melbourne less so, but gee, I thought that was still pretty average. That scoreline was very flattering. That should have been another 30-point loss. I don't suppose you think that the truth about Magne and the strong-arming and the blackmail that went on, which did go on, by the way, Brisbane are in the wrong there.
Yep.
Do you think that trickled through the group? Because obviously Sobey was calling Magne a sellout in the game. Now, Will Magne is not a sellout. That's not what happened here. Do you think that there's a little bit of the Brisbane felt like, oh, geez, like if they're willing to do that to Magne, a kid who's been at the program for a long time, what are they willing to do to me? Oh, no, thank you. I'm going to protect me and mine and get out of here at the end of the season. I think there's a huge possibility of that.
Could well be. But then why are they
sort of a mini mutiny going on where they're like, oh, I'm not listening to them. The coach is on the way out. The players are getting blackmailed. Families are getting touched up. Like, I'm out of here.
So why'd they pay out on Will Magne then? Like, surely they should be empathising with him and saying, oh,
well,
geez,
that's
like,
exactly my point.
Who's on whose side? Are the players on the player side or the players on the side of management? Well,
I think they got sold a false bill of goods. I think the Bullet said, listen, oh, no, Magne was, you know, that's all untrue. We didn't do any of that. And they have. And the truth has gotten through to the players after being lied to. And they're like, I don't trust you. I don't trust this team. The Bullets organization, I don't trust you. And you're not getting my best effort. That's what I think.
Could well be.
Happy to jump off them.
Yep.
I want to say a quick word. Felix von Hoff.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. We got a mention on the Trash Talk talking about Elam ending, bringing that to the NBL. We've been big fans of that. What league brought it in? Canada.
I think it was Canadian League has announced they're a FIBA endorsed league and they've brought it in for the entire season.
It's awesome.
See, yeah. Canada, just a better version of Australia. In every way.
Oh, ouch. It's beautiful up there. It is. It could be. I don't know if we're allowed to go back there anytime soon. But, I want to say thank you to Felix for that. I Felix von Hoff is like a Pied Piper for NBL crazies and kids new to the sport. I honestly just think that the marketing of the NBL, like, if you want to skew younger, which you always have to do, like, because kids bring their parents one ticket, three tickets or four tickets instead of one.
Yep.
You know, so... And Felix is that guy. He's taken time to do this podcast. He's done other shows that are, you know, smaller or not NBL based. So big fan. And Peter Hooley too. I think Pete Hooley is still kind of finding his voice a little.
Yeah.
I think he's in that unenviable position of being employed by the NBL, but also on Trash Talk. It's hard to marry those two.
Yeah, where do you balance the line? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Felix is funny though, because when he was a player, God, I thought he was crap. Like, how did this guy get a contract? And now he's all over Twitter. He's on the broadcast. He's on Trash Talk. And I really like him. I think he's a really personable dude. And there you go. And look, we're helping him out. Yeah, so Jock Landau helped him out with his shit takes section. Yeah. I highlighted that to him, Jock Landau.
And he wears it well. Like, Felix has got a sense of humor. And I think that's lacking. And I think Felix von Hoff, about the NBL should push that sort of sports bet style. Yep. Males, 18 to 30, Australiana, everyman. And Felix is a good-looking dude and all that. And I think can pull that off despite being camera ready. You know, that you don't want to go too into the Australiana, the fat slobs on TV. You got to kind of marry the two.
Yep.
I don't like this NBA light branding. I don't know if you watched the new Next Stars movie. Have you watched that on K or anything?
I can't be bothered.
Same. I watched the first 20 minutes and I was like, oh, yeah, I feel like I've seen this before.
Yeah. I think I'm too close to it. I've been watching it too intently. There'd be no new material in that for me. I don't think I could deal with it.
Just take a skim through it one time. Look at the construction. I was like, okay, yeah, I know how this works and the buttons into the brakes and, yeah. Oh, is Hampton going to play? Oh, he's not. I had to laugh because, you know, before the thing even starts, it's Paul Smith on camera. And I was just like, I've heard enough of him speak. So I kind of wax and wane. But, you know, people out there, don't take that from us. Listen, watch it yourself. Give the NBL the rating for sure. But, yeah, certainly going back to that, being original, and that's where it comes into Indigenous round this week. Those jerseys look 10 times better than all the normal ones.
Yep.
Why they don't make that a permanent fixture, I don't know. I've never heard a good valid reason not to.
Bizarre. The only argument would be it draws extra special attention to the Indigenous round. I just think stuff that let's make it an Australian league and the Indigenous culture can be part of the Australian league. I'm with you. And they look better.
I totally agree. And I just think they look better. They're a better story. If you're a visiting tourist, that's a jersey just on aesthetics you'd buy because you're like, oh, yeah, a bit of a gimmick. And well, I hate to say a gimmick, but, you know, it looks good. Oh, it's a bit of a story, talking point. Oh, it's been done by this artist. Here's the story of it, blah, blah, blah. You know, yep. I think people outside of basketball who are important, it's hard. Sometimes, you know, people forget that it's important to reach out beyond the crazies of the sport.
Yes.
It's a talking point for them. So that was a bit of a convoluted conversation, but let's jump on the realm of the relegated. So there are two teams at the minute that are no hope for the finals. Adelaide and Cairns. They did this on NBL Overtime quickly. I think I watched Overtime this week. I thought, okay, we'll go into it a bit more.
Yep.
Who do you want to start with, Cairns or Adelaide?
Let's start with Cairns.
Cairns. So what Cairns. We're doing here is we're looking at why they didn't succeed and any potential fixes that you could see that might go well. All right.
Yeah.
I guess with Taipans, are you surprised at their season?
Well, yeah, I think we had them picked right up at the top. I think I had them right up
we
the top.
We both had them in the top four.
Yeah. In hindsight, totally makes sense. Their Australian contingent, they were blitzed by injury. You know, their Australian contingent didn't come on the way that we thought they would. And the DJ Newball hole was way bigger than we thought. Like I thought that was a pothole. Turns out it was like a super pit. Kalgoorlie super pit sized hole. DJ Newball's face waving from down below. Like without him, that team is nothing.
I don't know. I find that not to call you lazy, but I think that's too.
You call me lazy.
I just think the injuries. I mean, quite annoying. Missed three quarters of the season. And the games he played, he didn't play well in.
Yeah.
I think, well, then the question is, but DJ Newball was part of the team last year when they won five games and were on massive losing streaks. So I actually don't look at DJ Newball. I look at the head coach. I really do. It's so easy to throw the head coach under the bus, but I just think you had a losing season with the guy who everyone's like, oh, that's the piece. Oh, that's all you needed. And then they didn't have, man, they had Scott Machado and Cam Oliver.
Yeah.
One of them's in the NBA. One of them played in the NBA. I'm sorry, Mike Kelly and this, DJ Newman needed to throw. No, man, no. You had enough. You had more than enough. And he just couldn't get enough out of the Australian contingent. They gave him a bad effort.
But neither of those imports played up to potential either. You can't tell me that Machado's had a great season.
I just felt that because the Australian guys were so poor, teams could bully up on the two of them.
Mm.
And I felt like Cam Oliver got no help up front. Like, who was there kind of rebounding and defending with him? No one.
Yeah.
I can't remember anyone else bar him grabbing a rebound. I really don't. So, no, this DJ Newell thing, I'm not so sure. And he was there when they lost a lot of games. He's not the difference, I don't think.
I sort of wonder as well what was going on behind the scenes, because you sort of had seemed like players came in and out of favor on the with the amount of court time they would get. Mm-hmm. You know, how much was Juwai ever going to play? Like, it was up and down. Obviously, the big one was the Mojave King, like sort of anchored to the bench for a huge period of time. You just, what was going on?
Well, can I start out a theory?
Oh, I like a theory.
Cam Oliver and Mojave King, what do they have in common?
Don't know.
Their agent. They were both.
You love formerly an agent story.
I
you
love agent
take
talk
this angle.
Well, what can I say? They share the same agent.
Right. Moldovan.
One was Moldovan, that's right. Formerly Lighthouse, now Octagon or Motivation Sports. I don't know, I forget what it is. Marvie King didn't play a lot. Very vocal about him not getting time against the organization, right? Olga Njulic, who's very, very familiar with Moldovan, was sort of the mouthpiece for that. Cam Oliver, same age. What happened to him? Oh, I've got to return to the United States. Family reasons, signs with the NBA.
I didn't realize the Rockets were part of his family. That's
stop it amazing. Now. I just think that the Mojave King thing cost him Cam Oliver. And he won't be back. He'll be NBA now or thereabouts trying to break in.
Yep.
I think there was a lot more turmoil behind the scenes. I think Jawhai was unhappy. I think Mojave King was very unhappy. Kwat Noi got hurt, which is obviously unhappy. Mudryk Deng got hurt. I think this was a locker room issue more than DJ Newball on court. I really do. Okay. I think that rot between Cam Oliver, Mojave King, and the agent just all kind of putting pressure, and it just became all a bit too vocal, a bit too obvious, and I think, you know, just kind of fell through a little bit. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm not willing to say, I think they had the personnel on the floor. So then I want to ask you this, a couple of quick fire questions.
Yep.
Is Mike Kelly their guy?
I'd like to see who else is available in the open market. I'm on the record, if this podcast is the record, for saying that Mike Kelly should be given another year and that you got to, you know. But I'm willing to test the market and put him up against some candidates.
Hmm. I think look down your bench, Jamie O'Loughlin, the assistant, maybe. But, yeah, my answer to the thing is a category no. I just think they didn't play with accountability and, yeah.
Yeah,
no, not for me. Kwat Noi. Is Kwat Noi your guy?
No.
Flat no?
Just no. I'm seeing him as like a kind of a – he's like a Todd Blanchfield or something. Like just a guy that is going to be thereabouts but is not going to be a guy you can build a team around.
He seems to get hurt as well.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a young, particularly young guy. He's in mid-20s getting hurt this much.
Yeah, he is what he is at this point. So I think if you try and say he's the guy that we're going to rely on, brave decision. I wouldn't do it.
And I just think we saw this with them last year where they found it difficult to, and this is going back to sort of the coaching staff and Mike Kelly, they found it difficult to group accountability. And to me, the gumption, like they couldn't arrest losing momentum. Once they lose one game, this team always seemed to like lose a couple. And last year they got on a roll and were winning heaps of games and won. So they're a momentum swing team, which to me is like, it's kind of like a team that, you know, you shoot well, they win, they shoot poorly, they lose. And Mike Kelly wasn't ever able to like kind of say, oh guys, this isn't working, change tact and do this. The team just kind of washed over him regardless.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, can I just on the Mike Kelly? Now this is a one play assessment of Mike Kelly's entire coaching potential. Okay, so it's probably totally unfair, but I also just want to raise this topic anyway. So
do it.
Two birds, one stone. The last game that Cairns played last night, I think it was last night, and they were down. They mounted a comeback in the last few minutes of the game. They were down 3. Machado kicked the ball across to Venky Joyce, who decided to launch a 3-pointer with a few seconds left. He had Machado, obviously, just giving him the ball. He had Natai, I think, one further pass on. But he said, no, I'm the man to hit this 3-pointer. Now, what sort of impact is the coach having if he doesn't second-guess that? And he's not also fearful of any repercussions. He's like, nah. Bugger it. I'm going to jack this 3. I'm the worst shooter in this team, but I'm going to do it. Is that? It was a terrible play, my friend. It was such a bad play, and I was horrified by it.
I saw your tweet. It was like, move it on. Can I actually say, I missed the game last night.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, that's all right. I'll go and watch the highlights. The highlights, I mean, I'm very critical of the NBA highlights. They're done by WSC, a program. They lack any nuance, they lack any credibility, they are unwatchable, and as a result they don't get big watches. I think that one maybe had 100 or so views on YouTube.
Yep.
WSC is a program, it's done off crowd noise and everything. Anyway, more the point, that game came down to the wire. The highlights jumped from the quarter, 1.5 minutes in the fourth quarter to the last shot of the game. So this Venki play didn't make the cut. It's all, I would rather have had a 15-second highlight of the game that was just that play, because that was the critical play, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, you got all this crap from the first quarter. So it doesn't mean a thing, and then it doesn't have this. And I just thought, whatever you're paying for this, just stop. Just don't put these out. They are not worth putting out. They actually reflect poorly on your league. And then I go to Twitter, and everyone's like, well, Venki should have done this, all these dot points. I'm like, how can you marry up those two things?
Yeah.
It just drives me mentally insane. So whatever they're paying for WSC, stop.
Yep.
Take that money and take out the office to lunch. It's better. That small increase in morale is money better spent.
I agree. And how does WSC, if it's reliant on crowd noise, how's it working for any Melbourne games at the moment when there's no crowd?
You're a horrible man. I think, but going back to Cairns, that's very funny. It's very funny. I want to say, can I have a bit of a shot at Nature White?
Big Nate.
I get the sense, bit of a whiner, bit of a moaner, and inconsistent with effort and leadership. There, I said it.
There you go. Look,
I've said it now.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I don't disagree with that at all. I heard rumblings around the year when he was in Perth that he wasn't the greatest person to be a part of the team.
And in a leadership vacuum, under the presumed leadership vacuum under Mike Kelly, that mentality can bleed through.
Yep.
Brutal theory, but you know, I can't deny what I see. I can only give my opinion. Can't give yours. Can only give mine. What do you want to do? What's the fix? If you had to make a couple of subtle, quick changes, you can't just go out and sign a cool import. What are some minor changes?
Okay. Well, I think you're right. As I reflect on it, I think the more and more I think about it, I think we need to look at the coaching. We need to... Man, maybe
you want to give Mike Kelly a fourth year, 4 years. I don't know.
If he's fourth, it was only his third.
No, this was his third.
Really?
He had the year they won 5 games. Remember that when the DJ
knew? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
the year they were good.
All right, he's gone. He's gone. All right.
You have to be really swapped. You really swung. All right.
change that, because not only is it a fresh voice, it's also a fresh system. Mm-hmm. And I think whatever system that Cairns run, I don't really know what their system is. I feel like I have no idea. So I think they need something new and different. Need to be reinvigorated. That would be probably the primary change. From there,
personnel? Would you do anything with personnel? What would you do?
They're in that awkward in between, aren't they?
You got Machado. Now, yep. Well, here's your chance now, because Cam Oliver's gone. They could bring back DJ Newball, the salve, the yep. elixir yep. for all problems.
It's just awkward because they need a top flight Australian, and they can't find it or attract it. I don't know if it's the small market, the money, the desire to play for Mike Kelly. Who knows? But they need to find a stud Australian and get him there and build a team around that guy. And I don't see how they're going to achieve it. So they're kind of always going to be stuck in this mediocrity.
Here are some subtle changes. I think, they need to go out and get a big who can defend and rebound. They need a great big. They need another Cam Oliver. They're not going to get Cam Oliver. They need someone like him. So let's say they get someone like that, right? They've got if they've got the money to sign Oliver, they can sign someone akin. I'd push more defensive than anything. Two guys I'd be looking for with them. Man, Uday Barber from Melbourne.
Yeah.
The promise of a starting spot would maybe lure him away. I don't know. You know, he wants minutes. He wants NBA sort of eyes. And, you know, Cairns would say, hey, how many players from Melbourne have gone to the NBA? Very few, if any.
Yep.
Whereas Cairns have got a better reputation. But the other one is Jack McVay. Like, they missed wing scoring and shooting around Machado. Man, if you could go to Jack McVay and say, are you enjoying playing under Connor Henry? He's out of contract, I believe. The promise of a starting spot. You know, Jack McVay helps him a lot.
I like that. I like that fix. And I think the Jack McVay personality might play well with Cairns. I could see him revving up that orange army. Totally. I'm on board. Just smash out the solutions.
Yeah, I like to have that. And that's a cheap signing. That's a guy who'd be, around that sort of lower echelon. And he is looking for court time now. More than money, I'd say. Jack McVay's like, I want to play. Last year was a nightmare. The year before, even worse.
Yep. He needs out. He needs out of that This is probably transitioning nicely into an Adelaide.
Yeah, transitioned very nicely. The other realm of the relegated, Adelaide 36ers, we hated this team. We hated their construction. We thought they were going to do really poorly. They kind of surprised us, but they are still eliminated. As much as we thought they were a lock for the bottom,
yep,
they've come very close.
Yes.
Where do you want to start with this team? Jeepers creepers.
You got to start. We've just panned Mike Kelly. And I tell you what, I'd sooner have Mike Kelly than Connor Henry as my coach.
Connor Henry's on a 3-year deal. He's got 2 years left. Ridiculous. I know. 3 years.
Oh my God. That's going to be expensive to sack him. Oh, man.
Am I getting the idea? If I was asking the question, is Connor Henry, is he your man? No.
No. No, he's not. No, he's the worst coach in the league. The fact that he keeps getting jobs, credit to his agents and his ability to spin. Because he can't coach. Not
head
the NBL.
Coach. Maybe an assistant.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe a video guy.
But head coaching, I think we've seen it. Perth Wildcats, we've seen it.
Sydney.
Adelaide, Sydney Kings. I've seen just enough of Connor, and I like him. He's fun sort of character and over dribbling, a lot of nice sound grabs, taking a bite out of homicide. It was all fun. But I haven't liked this team.
Do his players look happy? Do they look like they understand what the bigger picture is?
I've heard rumblings out of there that they're very discontent. wink, wink, no. I've heard enough to know. Not happy. Look at the things wildly inconsistent, erratic, minute getters, starting lineups, putting injuries aside, the lineups change on a whim.
Yeah.
And then when guys get minutes, sometimes it's Madronia, he started in Perth. He'll come, and more the point, it's different if you're Madronia, okay, I know I'm only going to get 2 minutes to end the second quarter, going to halftime. Okay. But sometimes he won't play, and then he'll be in the game at a critical junction, game down 4 points with 6 minutes left in the third, and he'll be in there. And it's like, why is he in there now? What chance does this guy or person have to kind of get a rhythm going of when they're coming in the game? It's just baffling. Baffling.
Yep.
Okay. So we're agreed on Connor Henry. What about personnel? Oh, you got a point.
I just want to say, in terms of Adelaide, I think one of the recent articles by Boddy really summed up Adelaide. He did such a good job just putting it where, so it was his NBL round 19 part 2 article. He just does a really good job of saying what Adelaide's all about. I love this. Sorry, I hope you don't mind if I quote it. I just love it.
Yeah, of course.
That shouldn't be too hard for Connor Henry, and certainly not as difficult as trying to follow his player rotations. Right. Yep. Talking about T's getting no court time. Who do you want out there battling for you in your last home game? A guy who would dive on any loose ball, or an import who is jogging back debating a non-call with a ref while his team is outnumbered down the other end? Yes, I noticed that play as well, where you had
Brandon Paul
just having a whinge, just head over the shoulder, having a chat to the referee, Wildcats just running the ball down. It was this is so bad, just so much bad about this culture and what's going on here.
Well, it's the same. I saw the same look on Brandon Paul's face that I saw on Isaiah Victor's face when he played for the Wildcats under Connor Henry. And you remember he played that 1 year off the bench, was not happy, hated playing in Perth, hated playing for Connor, didn't hate Perth or the Wildcats, hated playing under Connor Henry, and was just totally over it and dead in the eyes. And he was a good player. He could have given you something and just pushed to the brink. And I saw it with this. I just saw the same thing happen again.
The great look of what the F.
Just get me out of here. I'm not happy.
I've been sold a pup. Yeah.
Isaac Humphries. I want to ask you this. Isaac Humphries, is he your guy?
He's very good when he's healthy. I got no problem with him building around him. I don't know if he's as committed to the NBL as what you would need, though. I don't think I think he wants to go to the NBA. And I just think I'm not sure how bought in he is.
I agree. Listen, this might sound harsh, but he was great in the games he played. But if you're going to build around him, you need a competent backup. And Johnson's not a big backup. He's a scoring.
They're different.
You need a defensive anchor and strong person. So if you're going to go with Humphries, because Humphries, he's going to miss time. And don't forget, there were games where he played really well. And there were games when he didn't.
Yeah.
And maybe it's lingering injury, or whatever. But it's still we're half effort, half pay, that doesn't happen. You got to come with the goods. And Yep. He's just, I agree with you totally. I didn't see where you could just push your chips in with that guy. I never trust him. Couldn't trust him.
No.
What else about this team?
Well, DJ's going to be there till the day he retires. He's a club man at this point. So.
Well, he signed a 3-year deal, so he's in.
So that's fine. Apart from that, who else have they got? I mean, Daniel Dillon's old and gone. Both the imports, take it or leave it, you can get equivalent, but no issue. Neither of them have shown enough to be saying we got to keep this guy.
Brandon Paul had a couple of good games, but he's frustrated under Connor Henry and the time's been weird. His minutes, he doesn't want in, so he's out.
Yep. Jack McVay, we've said we're sending him to Cairns.
He's gone. He's out. He's gone somewhere.
Yep. Who else we got? Oh, Pinder. Well,
came better towards the end of the year, but gee, if he's your starting forward, you're not. I mean, he's the starting forward on a team that didn't come close to the finals.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that simple. And and that's not a coincidence.
So it's a total roster rebuild, isn't it?
Around Johnson again.
So they need to go after somebody like Isaiah Liafa or, could work there. They just need somebody, a local, that can score the ball.
Yeah, good point. Who's not getting enough minutes or in a bit of a log jam minutes-wise on teams? You look at, the Arthur's a good one.
Yeah,
he'll definitely be looking for a bigger role. Probably sixth man still. Not quite. If he's your starting point guard, you're in a bit of trouble. At Sydney, who's kind of struggling there?
I don't see anybody as well. It's not an attractive market. It's not like you say, oh, yeah, I'd really like to go to Adelaide because I might get some court time, but I'm going to have to play for Connor Henry. Sales pitch.
The interesting one was Isaac White, who plays for Illawarra. I think he's from Adelaide. I don't know whether he has interest to come back, sort of a nuggety young player, kind of shooter. I didn't hate his play with Illawarra. He'd be a decent spot. But, I think
Emmett Nahr would sooner be leaving than him, though. I think the Gorgian. I think.
Yeah, no, he would infuriate. I remember there was that game where Nahr had 0 points, 13 assists, and people were like, wow, what a performance. I was like, that is the death rattle on a Gorgian team. Because there's that Gorgian rule where he's always like, listen, if you're not going to shoot it and just move it along, I may as well have someone out there who's 6'9", Nahr is that guy. And it's just not, in a team that's got so little scoring options, you can't have him on the floor allowing them to come off and go to Harvey. No, I'm off on him big time. Yep.
No, I think Adelaide, you basically just got to stick a giant stick of dynamite in there and kaboom it and start all over again.
The Humphreys, if they can get a decent backup to Humphreys, then, there's something there with those two because they look quite good, but not the consistency of playing time. If they got to spend their imports perfectly this time. I mean, don't forget, this is a team that, had Sloan in, Crocker, Sloan's gone, brought in Brandon Paul. He had to sit out time with quarantine, blah, blah, blah. If they can just go, we're just going to spend big. I remember, the year Machado first played in Cairns, that Adelaide were going to get him. That's who Joey Wright was recruiting.
Yeah.
Imagine if they had him. They'd be amazing.
Yeah. But really this season, I think, for Adelaide, it was all about showcasing Josh Giddey. So if you say, well, job done.
Good point. But, and it is totally job done. He seemed to do very well. He'll get drafted quite good. He had that horrible last game in the NBL. Bad swan song. But,
so they get some sort of payout? Was the payout worth the pain?
Well, the thing is, they seem to sell tickets well.
That's true.
But the problem is what happens next year. You've hired a coach who was kind of probably hired predominantly on the pretense that Giddey would be allowed to star. So how you build on that, I don't know. I'm not hopeful for Adelaide.
I've just got their roster in front of me on the screen as I talk to you, and I'm just looking at it. It's just like, it's just so underwhelming at every level. There's nothing on here that is amazing.
Yeah, we just thought they were a lock for the bottom. How many games have they won, by the way? Where are they in the ladder position? I'll bring up the ladder here.
Let's have a look.
I've got them at, New Zealand.
13.
Okay, serious question. They've got two games left.
Yep.
Are they going to win Adelaide? Are Adelaide going to win any of their last two?
No.
So that takes them to 13 and 23. Yep. My question is, will New Zealand jump them? They've got four games left.
Yes.
I think that's going to happen. Let me just have a quick look at the schedule and we'll go through this. New Zealand play Illawarra tomorrow night. That's a tough one.
But it's in New Zealand. Illawarra are playing well.
Oh, and then they host Brisbane in New Zealand as well.
I should get that. Brisbane don't care.
Then they play Cairns.
Yep, that's a win.
Southeast Melbourne at home.
Could be a struggle. That's 22 losses. So look, that's all right. That'll get them over.
Adelaide, on the other hand, play these teams. They don't have many left, but here we go. At Illawarra, no hope.
No.
And then they also play at Melbourne. Okay, so they're definitely not winning that game, and I'm pretty confident they're going to get jumped. They're going to finish second last.
Appropriate.
Oh, and how far are they off Cairns?
Nah, too far. Cairns are seven.
Never mind. Forget I mentioned that. So, you know, we weren't far off the mark. That roster is underwhelming.
And it's going to be a hangover for next year because, where are they going to find players to fill this team next year? I don't know. I'm shopping in NBL 1 or something.
Well, they move on from Connor. Maybe there's a chance they can get some, I think, personnel credibility, but not for my mind.
No.
Well, that's kind of it. Is there anything we've forgotten?
I don't think so. I think people are probably sick of hearing from us anyway. They're like looking at their little clock and they're going, geez, guys, wrap it up.
I just wanted to, there's one game on tonight, Perth Wildcats, Sydney Kings. You'll be there. There you go. Look for him on television. It's on ESPN and SBS On Demand. Do you think there's going to be a surprise here? What are we expecting from a cottonless Wildcats?
I think it's going to be experimentation time. I think they're really going to run a lot of plays for Magne. I think they're going to try and keep seeing if Norton can continue to score the ball the way he has been. They've really got very little to gain, nothing to lose. It's just a meh game for them as well.
I mean, Sydney Kings as well. Like,
doesn't result. Two teams doesn't matter.
Two teams being killed by injury, and Sydney can't score. And over in Perth, I have no doubt Perth will win. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Be an absolute shock if they didn't. Right.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. All right. Well, that's everything. As I was saying at the top of the program, I've got one copy of Marvelous left. Don't be the one to miss out. I know I joke about that. I'm seriously. Once this is it, you will never hear me say the words Marv. Endless again. I don't want to say I've loved this book. I've loved selling it, but I'm a little bit. No offense to Bonnie, I'm a little over it at this point. So if you want to buy, because you know to buy it secondhand, it costs you $50-$60. Buy a new copy, $30. Signed by Brett Maher. It's a really like this is a good read. Not only is it a good read on its own merits, but this is the only handbook on the NBL. There's nothing that goes to the detail that this does about. How it started, where it started, good players, the boomers, and how that interacts with the NBL. This is the one book. So if you're
Just wait, you're tired of selling this one. Did you know that Boddy's going to be selling next year a book about Keanu Pinder?
Are you serious?
He's going to expect you to sell 20 copies of that one.
Stop it. Get out of here. I know Boddy's got his memoirs coming up.
Oh, buy a copy of that. You've bought that last copy of Marvelous.
Buy. And if you like the show, become a patron. More of a charity than anything else. We'd appreciate that. It's very kind. Very kind thing to do. I think we're done.
We're out.